see if I can get it. Oh, I can't open it.
This is the Freedom Beans.
Go ahead. No, you have to, because I just closed it.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Beans Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, on the corner of Trash View and Nada Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with a rejuvenative radio wave. I can't say that right now.
Rejuvenative radio waves.
Please put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael and Lisa?
It's working.
It's working for me, man. I'm digging.
Excellent. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yes. Excellent. It's good to have you back, Lisa.
It's good to be back. And I probably after am on probation for that goof up.
After your spanking, how long were you gone?
I don't know. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah. No, you're not on probation.
Okay.
It's interrogation. It's probative, but not probation. So, it's Jeremy's the only one who came back and was on probation. Although MK Lords came back and was on secret double secret probation, didn't know it, and I just fired her. She's gone.
So, I was wondering.
I knew you'd say that, Lisa. But you know, I had to fire her to make room for. I had to fire her to make room for you.
Oh no.
Yay!
Because you know, we have quotas. We have quotas on the Freedom Fiends. No, no, but I don't like
it. Redhead quotas.
Snossage fest, but
yeah,
it's better this way. Yeah, let's see. So I'm hanging out with some girls. I'm hanging out with the best kind of girls. They're libertarian girls, but that's not why they're the best kind of girls. They're the best kind of girls because I can turn them down with a knob. Literally,
wow.
I like that. Wow.
Wow, Michael.
Although
you know, men are jealous of that.
Oh, that yeah.
They're all jealous.
I thought you were going to say because they're from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Nah,
that's made us awesome.
I'm not a tribalist. I'm not a tribalist like y'all. Even though I'm from the East Coast too originally, before I wised up and moved to Wyoming. Girls, I can turn down. You know, and really, for any, you know, anyone listening who's screeching at that, like maybe MK Lords. I don't know. you know, I like guys I can turn down too. I'm an equal opportunity disser. So yeah.
You know, that's why I like a lot of my internet friends, like sometimes more than my real life friends.
You can mute them.
You can just log off. Yeah. If you're just done, you can just be like, all right, bye.
Well, that's why I don't have any real life friends.
You can't do that in real life.
You can't block people that easy either. Well, I actually wrote a book on how to block people in real life. Oh, that one, yeah. Yeah, that was they didn't really block people on that. They just in that one Black Mirror. That was my favorite Black Mirror, the one about the social networking. Yeah. No, really, it was basically just it was kind of libertarian in a way, although it was based on ridiculous precepts, but the libertarian aspect of it was the market would no longer do business with you.
Right.
In that one. Yeah, if they didn't like you. But it was based on really stupid stuff. And what did you say? Did I write a book? Who said that?
Yeah, about that you did? About blocking people in real life?
Yeah, it's called A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Oh, I need to read that.
Okay, I'll send you a link during the break and I'll put it in the show notes.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first, you'll really like this book because it's the first, I'm writing, making a note to myself. The first half of it is about, you know, basically, like, I never heard the word defoo when I wrote the book. And it's basically, like, about how to defoo, but not for ridiculous reasons like, you know, your parents still vote, but more like kind of soft defoos of, like, just how to turn down the volume on people and how to, like, truly block people that are truly dangerous or just really bad for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and the second half of the book is tips on making a living working at home doing what you love. And I know you already work at home doing what you love, but
I do.
You know, I would listen to other people's tips on that too. I actually do. There's a podcast I listen to. I can't remember what it's called, but it's you know, it's all kind of life hacking tips.
Do you guys know is that it Tim one? Ferriss?
Maybe. What's it called?
I love that one. It's just I think it's just Tim Ferriss podcast.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's one of
maybe. Yeah, it sounds about right.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to read that. It's funny because I was thinking, because lately, see, because I work from home, I don't really drive that often. But since my son wrecked his car, I've been driving him to work and back, and it's like 40 minutes each way. So I've been dealing with traffic and other people and drivers, and I realize how insulated I've been. Humans. Yeah, man,
they're horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible. So I'm like, people are just cutting each other off and like passing on country roads and all these this crazy stuff. And so I was thinking, I need to write a book called like, How Not to Be a Jerk. Just because also when you're out, you know, people are so glued to their cell phones that they don't even see you. They don't hold doors open for you anymore. You hold doors for them and they don't say thank you or acknowledge you. It's just people are just rude. I'm not
people would actually
because I'm old and grouchy now.
That book that book might actually sell and get published by a publisher and sell, but it wouldn't be of any use because people would only buy it to give to people that are annoying, and annoying people wouldn't read it when you give it to them. Whereas my book is about, you know, just, you know, there's a theory about police. I'm reading this book right now called Arrest Proof Yourself, and it's written by a former prosecutor or cop or something, and it's kind of statist. I mean, it says things like, you know, I'm against drugs, but I have a chapter on leave your dope at home because I want you to, you know, not get arrested and be able to have time to get off the dope and become a good citizen on your own and not have to go to jail. But no. I can see it. It's like it's a really that's a really good view for a statist, you know, like that's progressive to me in a good way for a statist. It's cool for a statist, you know, because most statists just want to throw you in prison. So this guy thinks he's superior to you. But the thing is, like, in knowledge of how to not get arrested, he is. So I'm reading the book, and one of the main premises of the book is if cops can't see you, they can't arrest you. And not in those same terms, but that same idea is one of the premises.
That's why John Cena doesn't get arrested.
In the book, it's one of the premises in the book, You and the Police by Boston Tea Party, which was actually the book that inspired Cop Block. And in it, he says, you know, he tells all these things about how to not get arrested. And he tells you to carry a, this is written like 15 years ago. And he's like, have a video camera and carry it in your car and film police interactions. But he wasn't saying it as activism. Like Cop Block took it further. Like almost a lot of cop blockers like put themselves in situations where cops will be in their face and film it. Which I don't really know about the value of that. Some of it seems useful, some of it seems horrible, and some of it seems just like, you know, who's this for? It's for you and your YouTube views, you know.
Yeah. There's no point in poking the bear, is the way I see it.
Yeah.
But for insurance purposes, for safety purposes, it's good to have a dash cam.
Absolutely. Yeah, and a dash cam's probably better than filming it with your phone because it's less in their face. You know, and if your state is a one-party consent state, you don't even have to tell them you're filming them. So, like, why?
Right, then you don't have to worry about holding that, and you know, while you're
trying while you're yourself and trying to get and trying whatever. To get your and trying to holding your phone while trying to get your papers and things like that for them.
Papers,
but it's a really good. I really like that concept of like if the police can't see you, they can't arrest you. And my idea too is like, if idiots can't see you, they can't bother you. And but conversely, almost ironically, I'm still very visible to the public, and I am on the social medias, and I have a radio network. But I mean, I have a radio show that's on a network, and you know, on radio stations. But I really don't spend much time fighting with idiots. I pretty much just block them or mute them. You don't, Lisa. I know you fight them. You have to. What is that saying? Fighting with someone on the internet is winning an argument on the internet is like, you know, beating up a retarded child. I said it.
Okay. I know there was a slightly different one that you probably can't say, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, really, if you win, what do you win when you win an argument on the internet? I mean, I guess the idea is like the argument is for the other people watching it to A, see your prowess as an intellectual idiot, or B, to maybe change hearts and minds. But I've changed a lot more hearts and minds, and this show has changed a lot of hearts and minds. People write me all the time and say, you know, I found liberty through you guys. Or, you know, I was a statist trying to get Ron Paul elected, and then I heard you guys and just realized the idiocy of playing in the politics pool. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of in an echo chamber now because most of my Facebook friends either agree with me about things or they don't say anything anymore because I think a lot of them know that, you know, if I disagree with her and I say anything, like 50 people are going to jump on me about this. So it's not worth it. But today, a guy that I don't recall ever seeing before kind of jumped in to defend Trump. And out of nowhere, my post wasn't even about Trump. So I said, wait a minute. And I was being very polite and trying to figure out where he was coming from. Because I like to find common ground and be nice to people generally. And he started calling me dumb and retard and all kinds of not so nice things. And so I said, did you just call me that? I think you did. I said, I think you're going to get blocked. And then he's like, don't worry, I'm going to block you first. I'm like, what are we, 12?
You realize there are people, like, you realize there are people that politicians and political parties pay to sit there. That's a full-time job. Some of the people you're arguing with are sitting in a room full of cubicles of, you know, 50 other people who are like fighting for Hillary or fighting for Trump or fighting for, they actually have them for the U.S. federal government. It's not a conspiracy. There's a white paper by, who's that guy that wrote that horrible book called Nudge about how to get people compliant in things that the government wants them to do without laws?
Ooh, I don't know, but.
Ugh. And he actually called it libertarian paternalism. This is sickening. If you search the word libertarian on iTunes, that's the first thing that comes up. And it's written by a guy who was like appointed by Bush and was like Obama's like czar of everything.
Oh.
Cass Sunstein is his name. Yeah. So they, you know, he said like what we need to do to, it was kind of before the word fake news existed, but it was the beginnings of like, how do we fight back on the internet to keep our, you know, our propaganda in the forefront. And basically, he suggested several things, and that was one of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't understand. How is anyone still statist when that kind of stuff is going on? I just don't get it. You know?
Because the government gets you really young in school and indoctrinates you. And
yeah, that's the only explanation I can...
One of the commies or Nazis in World War II said, you know, give me a child when he's five and I have him for life.
Creepy.
Yep.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Talking about nannies like Cass Sunstein. You know, another thing that he had a little note about somewhere in that white paper was about the concept of strengthening academia, because, you know, that thing of give me a child when he's five and I have him for life that Stalin or Goebbels or somebody said. I'm sure I'll get emails. I don't care. All the children belong to us. The government believes it. I mean, Obama actually talked about a 12-year school year. Do you remember that?
No. What?
Yeah. I don't recall.
Yeah. Or lengthening the school day. And a lot of parents were for it because they're like, oh, babysitter, kids out of my hair. I don't have to see the children I'm raising. Yeah. But the other, you know, he also was like, they were trying to strengthen, you know, they put in the Common Core, which totally messed up education and made it not even work. But, you know, basically nationalized schools, which were grade schools and high schools, which were historically public schools, were historically run by states. So, and, you know, Bush did the No Child Left Behind thing, which made it bad, and Common Core made it worse. And then they were trying, they were, you know, academia in the 60s, you know, is when academia started getting taken over. Basically, you know, a lot of hippies said, well, we want to take over the country. And a lot of them had a socialist mindset. You know, if you read about the Weather Underground and Abby Hoffman and Paul Rudd, and oh, I made a mistake the other day. I said, I was wrong. I have a few I was wrongs. I did a, I said that Mark Rudd started the free speech movement, and it was actually someone else. So I don't have the name of the guy. Doesn't matter.
I wouldn't have known. I was wrong. Difference.
Yeah, but so in the before that, basically academia didn't have as much a lefty bent, and it's kind of conservative actually. Academia has been kind of conservative. It was like where they, you know, created the movers and shakers and captains of industry and people that ran the world. You know, who were historically kind of conservative, a lot of them. And in the 60s. There were a few hippie college professors or college professors that became hippie after the hippie thing started. But there were also a lot of people who said, well, you know, people are throwing bombs and blowing up government buildings and it's not changing anything. You know, they weren't against that. They were just, it doesn't work. They didn't have a moral problem with killing people. They just thought it didn't work. So they were like, let's change the system from within. And a lot of people got into academia. You know, like a lot of people got teaching certificates, K through 12 and college, and became adjunct professors and then professors. And now pretty much I'd say 85% or more of college professors nationwide are far left, to the point where, you know, people try to burn down the school if they book a, you know, conservative speaker.
Yeah.
Milo.
Yeah, I read about one today who said, you'll be exempt from your final exam if you go out and protest Trump instead.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing like all kinds of things. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the hippies tried to change it from within and to an extent did. And I'm not suggesting that libertarians really try to do that other than, you know, take your kids out of school and homeschool them with proper values, I'd say. But so, you know, the hippies got into that, and then academia has become like such an entrenched, you know, it's one of these many things that are entrenched by the government, like healthcare is controlled by the government. You know, transportation is controlled by the government. The money is built and controlled by the government, regulated by the government. You know, if you try to do something, and if you try to do something new in any of these, you either end up in prison, bankrupt, or just giving up because there are so many regulations to innovation.
Yes.
Which is why a lot of the innovations happen in computers, because it happened so quickly that they couldn't like pass laws fast enough. And it's a good thing. And it's kind of like, you know, the genie got out of the government in an academic bottle, which is the only computers in the world were in governments and colleges and a few giant corporations in the 60s. And, you know, some guys took a bunch of acid at colleges and said, hey, I'm going to drop out and make computers. And that's why you now have a computer in your pocket, in your phone, that, you know, is more powerful than all the computers that sent men to the moon. So there, it's good.
It's good.
So yeah, they want to control academia, you know, K through grad school, and they pretty much do. And there was something that Cass Sunstein wrote about increasing academia. It was basically like having a secret internet paid campaign of saying that if you don't like what's going on in colleges and you don't like professors and you don't like certain academics, you hate knowledge.
Of course.
And we're going to talk about why that's not true. And how I formed a new term. It's AOL. It's an insult and it means academic only libertarian. Those darn AOLs.
Perfect.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Communism is not sharing, and sharing is not communism.
Yeah. True facts. Truth.
Yeah. Someone made a meme of that. Someone just tried to argue that with me. He said, communism is sharing. It's just a particular form of sharing. To hold all property in common with your community, to share it, but completely. Boy, that sounds like... right, doesn't it?
You
like
can't
when you
force
tell that to
sharing.
A child.
Yeah.
When you, but you, if you just explain like what they said, like that's the brainwashing. You know, that's a very eloquent way of saying we're going to point guns at you, take your stuff, and give it to other people.
It's very Orwellian.
It is very Orwellian. And it's that's what we're fighting, people. And, you know,
commies.
I don't think the fight is go out in the street and punch people. Although I have a prediction, so I'm debating a couple different show titles. One is women you can turn down, or women you can turn down the volume on. Is that too good? Turning down the volume on women.
Yeah, I was gonna say the first one's not very good because you really can't turn the volume down on me.
Yeah. Well, I can from my end. It's the same thing I was talking about like, you know, you can't control other people. You can only control how you react to them. And the sooner you realize anyone realizes this, the better their life will be. I didn't realize this until about 45. And I spent my life literally and figuratively mashing my head against a wall because people were not doing my bidding. And not necessarily in a, like, I am the leader way,
evil.
But in like a...
Your minions?
No, not an evil way, but in a... Just a little bit evil. But in a, you know, more in a, like, people can't be controlled. Even in communism, they can't be controlled. They try. They kill you. But people do a lot of things under communism. You know, anti-communists do things illegal in communism. It's actually sometimes easier because the government's so busy watching everybody that it's more easy for one person to get away with something. But, oh, back to the cops can't arrest you if they can't see you. Like we don't have bumper stickers on our car. Our car's clean. It's up to date. You know, there's not a bunch of food wrappers on the seat or anything like we. So if we're less likely to get pulled over for looking freaky, and if we do get pulled over, the cop's not going to look in the car and immediately judge like, oh, they're slobs. You know, like really like crap on your floor in your car. It makes you more likely to get messed with by a cop.
Uh-oh. I got all kinds of stuff in mind.
I thought having a clean, flashy car was more likely because then they think you're a drug dealer.
Well, a clean, a flashy car at all is also, you know, bait to a cop. But, you know, probably the best car to have to not attract cops, I would think, is probably, you know, like a beige 3-year-old vehicle in good working condition, clean inside and out with no, and really important, like taillights not out,
right?
License paid. Registration up to date, insurance up to date. Most people that go, here's something I learned that I didn't know. Most people that are in jail at any given time got there from a traffic stop, like 65 or 70% of people.
Oh, yikes.
So, you know, cops can't arrest you if they don't see you, if you just blend in, look invisible to them. You know, crazy people can't latch. Here's the thing about crazy people, too, is they latch onto you. So, you know, if someone's, like, obsessed about you, I mean, if you're the Antifa girl, no matter what you do, they're going to keep doing. But, you know, just the average weenie on the internet or in real life, too, like, becoming obsessed with you and, like, I've got to prove you wrong or hurt you or do this or that. Like, most of those people, if you just block them, they'll go away and they will find someone else because those people need a fight. And right. Lisa gives people fights that want to fight. She's playing. You're playing their game. You're doing them a favor. You know that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but I've been less patient lately. I've been banning and blocking. And
what I tend to do, I have a trick too. When someone's like furious at me and I want to block them, I wait a day. I write it down and I block them the next day. Because if I block them immediately, I mean, if they're still yelling at me and treating me badly, I'll block them. But, you know, in general, like I don't block unless it's absurd and they're screaming. I don't block them. If there's just someone that like here and there bugs me this and that, you know, just I wait until they're not looking and then block them. Because if you block them, they take that as an action and then they try to find. Here's the mark of a sociopath. You block them and they find in life or on the internet and they try to find other ways to contact you.
Yeah, that's creepy when that happens.
Yeah,
super creepy. I've had that happen to me before. Like,
you know what's a really funny one?
My website. I'm like,
a really funny one is Lou said that he's an admin or the main admin on the Freedom Fiends page on Facebook, and he said that 90% of the questions on there are either what does worms mean, because we say worms a lot.
Yeah,
it's basically the aloha for the fiends. It means yes, I agree, cool, you're one of us.
Worms.
But the second most common question on there is, why did Michael block me?
Wow.
Yeah.
Upset.
Yep.
With the sad emoji.
Sad.
Yeah, the sad emoji.
I have seen people post before after you've blocked them. Like, I can't believe he blocked me. And I just laugh and roll my eyes because I know.
How about turning down the volume on women and others as the show title?
That's perfect. Yeah. Something I need to learn how to do more often. But
well,
I am working
send you
on
my
that.
Book.
I just read this book called The Psychopath Test, and that was really eye-opening. And then another one about how to read people. I've read a few
The problem with the psychopath test is charismatic non-psychopaths pass some of that. You know, they have some of the indicators of it, like me, you know, charismatic non-psychopath.
Yeah, it's definitely not a be-all.
If I take that test, I'll get more positives than, you know, a person who kind of keeps to themselves. And, yeah, we're weird, though. I think you and I are both, Lisa, I think you and I are both kind of introvert. What's the word for people that want to show off?
Extrovert.
What, TJ? Yeah, we're introvert extroverts or something. Or no, we're introvert social butterflies. How's that?
Yeah, maybe. I can be, and then I get worn out pretty quickly after a couple hours. I'm like, all right, I'm done.
How introversion works, you know, and you have to be alone to recharge.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people going, that's called INTJBF. No.
YJ.
There are two kinds of people. People that believe in that test. What's that called?
The MBTI. Yeah.
What's it called?
MBTI. Jungian. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's people who believe that that test is important into who you are, and then there's smart people.
Yeah. The problem with this kind of test is they do kind of put you in a box, and then a lot of people like, start to act as if.
Changes.
Right. Label yourself.
It's also, you know, that kind of testing. People kind of answer it the way they want to without even thinking about it. Like the way they want, they try to game it, I think.
Oh, yeah. You know? Everybody's an INTJ when they take that. That's supposed to be the analytical, logical, smart
one. It's also kind of like horoscopes. Like you can read anybody's horoscope and go, yeah, I'm like that. Because they're all so vague and positive and, you know.
Horoscopes aren't true, but zodiac signs are.
What's the difference?
Do you actually believe that?
I don't know the difference.
Absolutely.
That's insanity.
I don't know the difference.
Zodiac signs. So,
horoscopes are like your daily, like, this is going to happen to you today. And that's always different from whichever paper or website you read. It's not real. But
yeah, somebody writes it. It's their job.
Like, they're zodiac.
Yeah.
So, like, well, I'm a Gemini and I'm probably
two-faced.
No, I'm actually not at all. I'm pretty. Sure. Brutally honest, and people don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that too, and I'm a Gemini with a Taurus cusp, and I'm, you know, kind of not schizophrenic, but, you know, and not really bipolar, but very not two-faced, but very much, you know, kind of two different levels. You know, I could be really mellow or really hyper. I guess that's manic depression. I hate using the word manic depression because I feel like if I put that word on myself, at some point they're going to come take my guns because I said that. But I'm a happy guy, and I don't think about violence on anybody except when someone who'd kick in my door. And, you know, just Taurus is bullheaded. So, yeah, I am bullheaded and kind of two different people. But
you're proving my point right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's the exception that proves the rule. Whatever that means, that doesn't really mean anything. That is something that people say when they don't have an argument and they make a blanket statement. You know, like, for instance, you know, leftist women don't shave their armpits. And then somebody shows them like 40 pictures of actresses at, you know, on the red carpet and they all have shaved armpits. And they say, well, that's the exception that proves the rule. It's, what does that mean? No, people, don't trust people who say
it's
that.
It's more Orwellian doublespeak.
It really is. Something. It really is. It says, it means I'm right no matter what.
I'm going to start saying that completely out of context.
Okay. I would just say if people say to you, it's the exception that proves the rule, ask them, please tell me precisely what you mean by that. They're going to give you just mumble. They're going to mumble. Well,
they'll just repeat themselves.
Yeah. Or they'll say, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I get when I ask questions. You're stupid. I'm like, I asked you. Okay. All right. Let's go with that then.
You know, we were talking at the beginning of the show. You guys live like 2 hours and 18 minutes apart, according to Google. Right. And that's, you know, driving the speed limit. And I said, like, you know, 10 minutes before the show and we got on, I was like, you know, if one of you left right now and drove a little over the speed limit, you could finish the show with the other one in the same room. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be funny.
Oh, the other show title we thought was Cocaine Focus Group. That's pretty funny, man.
I like both because, of them.
Because I was talking, someone was talking, one of you was talking about doing, filling out surveys for money. And I said, you know, you ever do focus groups? They pay more. And V said, what'd you say, V?
I think I was talking about the time on one of the shows where you talked about, like, you did a study where you had to shoot up meth and it was, like, really uncomfortable. And I was like, wait, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that wasn't a focus group. That was a paid drug study in a hospital. And it was cocaine.
What if they made you shoot up meth and then you do the focus group?
Yeah, I think you'd get paid to leave that focus group. I've seen that happen. If somebody, basically, if you're too smart for a focus group and kind of like start asking the questions they don't want you to ask and kind of leading the group, they pay you to leave. I actually had that happen once. I used to do focus groups that paid really well because they were for webmasters in the .com boom. And I would get like $300 for 2 hours, which is like, you know, most focus groups are like 2 hours and you get $50 or something. And this was like, they were actually showing this product. It was called like Gator or something. And it was this thing that like, It was behaving like a virus. And I said, this thing's basically a virus. And I said it over and over and over. And they quietly paid me my whole money to leave after like 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
I'm going to try that.
Google Gator and virus. It is a virus and it still exists.
An invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
That sounded cool, but you know, it won't sound cool. I still sing sometimes, but it's not in time on the MP3 because, and it's not in time going on the radio either because there's a delay between the music coming to us and it going back, you know, so it's like a quarter second off in rhythm. Right.
I need to start delaying myself.
I know, I'm trying to figure out how to sing and make that work. I think on the beginning segment I can do it because it kind of stays on the same each chord for like 5 or 8 seconds and I can kind of you know, slide over it. So we have decided the horrible title for this show and the picture that is even more horrible, but we all think it's really funny. We focus group this, and we think it's funny, is the title of the show. The picture for the show is going to be the meme I made that's already got a lot of hits.
Meme.
No pun intended. It says, Commies versus Nazis is the new LARPing, and it's, you know, the Nazi punching the Antifa girl in the face. It's the money shot. And LARPing, they did it. This idea came from a show I wasn't on. Last night it was Jim and James, and they kept saying this. They said variations of that concept 30 or 40 times in 2 hours, and they never defined the word LARPing. LARP stands for live action role playing. And it's, you know, describe it really briefly. What is it?
It's people who go out and to the, usually outside. Sometimes they can do it inside, but they'll just act as different characters, like maybe you're
medieval.
Like Dungeons and Dragons, something like that.
Yeah. So Commies versus Nazis is the new LARPing. And I think that's kind of true, because that whole thing, if you look at all the videos from those Berkeley fights, you know, it's the Nazis had a rally. They called it a free speech rally. And the lefties, who supposedly invented free speech 50 years ago, showed up and like tried to hit the Nazis with things. And the thing is, too, this girl is literally a 98-pound weakling. Someone posted her porn profile and it had weight, 98 pounds.
She is,
and a lot of Nazi, she's cuter before she went all, moldy locks, though. and they are moldy. You ever make out with someone with dreadlocks? They kind of smell. Yeah, unless they clean them with oil soap, and then they smell like soap. But they kind of smell like mold, like lightly, like a basement, you know, like lightly like mold. Ew. But so we're going to use this picture of the guy punching the girl. And the show title is Turning Down the Volume on Women in the Cocaine Focus Group. That's so wrong.
I love it.
He's turning down the volume on the women.
Wrong.
And Berkeley's riots are a cocaine focus group. Takes up 8 city blocks. Yeah, I mean, it kind of looked like, I mean, they were literally playing a game of capture the flag. You know, it's like some Americans, you know, someone had an American flag and somebody else stole it. And, you know, then they chased him. And then the Nazis got the big black and white, you know, Antifa flag that looks like the ISIS flag and stole it and were burning it. And it was, you know, here's my theory, though, which is not funny. I think soon there's going to be an Antifa sniper. I think someone from Antifa is going to go start shooting, you know, because they're starting to get gun skills. Have you encountered any of these in like open carry groups and stuff you guys are in?
I've heard about them arming up. The groups that I'm in, we don't really associate with them. Not like openly. Yeah. It's not like a spoken thing. It just happens, you know.
Yep. Well, you know, somebody's teaching them to use guns. They're probably all using my video, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, and just forgetting the non-aggression. But yeah, you're like, here, man, check this out. Watch it. But just, you know, ignore. Fast forward for the first 4 minutes and then skip the stuff later about the non. Oh, did you ever decide if you want to do that or not? Lady, did you talk to that guy?
Oh, me. Briefly, it hasn't quite been decided yet. I need to talk to him again and remind him.
All right. All right. So anyway, turning down volume on this, we got 1 minute. What? 1 minute. Yeah. So you should review things. It's your libertarian duty to review things on sites like Amazon and what's the other one?
Yelp.
Because, you know, they say who would prevent bad actors from selling things in the marketplace without the government? You would with reviews, you know, and they're good at figuring out the reviews are fake, but not always. What happened? Real quick, V, to you, when you posted a review of a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, I posted a review on Yelp, and it was like my third review, and I gave it 5 stars, and Yelp said, you're a spammer. Yeah, definitely not a spammer.
They'll figure it out, though. Yeah. Could be your IP address is on a range that is used by spammers.
It's a few years ago.
They probably figured it out, man. The AI is getting better and better. The cars are learning. They're going to replace the truckers first. Then the drunk drivers will have to get self-driving cars. Then everybody. Mm-hmm. Then it'll be illegal to have a... It won't be illegal. They just will have... You won't be able to drive on most roads, you know, like interstate highways. And
you'll pay a lot in insurance.
With an old car. Yeah. Oh, for old cars? For normal cars? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll nudge you. They won't outlaw old cars. They'll just nudge you away from them.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT No Government License.
I'm not laughing at you.
This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. It's okay if you were.
I'm not. I was laughing at the whole scenario because our whole intro kind of sounds culty. And then, like, I'm imagining that there's somebody turning on this channel for the first time in Belle Fouche or Sundance and going, like, wait, so this is a show where some guy, like, tells women what to do and, like, it sounds like a cult? Like, how do I sign up? Where's my white robe? Right. Where's my white robe? How do I, yeah, first, you know, okay, first you have to, like, put me in your will and then we'll talk, so. You know, there's like organizations that do that. Like the NRA has a page on how to put the NRA in your will.
Really?
That sounds culty to me. Yeah.
That sounds very culty.
Shouldn't it go to your family? That. Well, you know, maybe if your family are a bunch of inveterate liberals that hate guns, but I could still think of better things to do than the NRA. They're so square. They love the police and the military. They think that, you know, and they think that it's okay. They like that people get thrown in jail for, you know, having substances that are. There's no victim except the person using them. That's square.
That is very square.
Yeah, man. Have your guns, but don't throw your neighbors in. You know, if you're ever on a jury, I'm not going to tell you how to vote on a jury. That might not be legal. But the main reason the Freedom Fiends are on the radio instead of just be this show, the main reason we're on the radio instead of just on a podcast is because it's actually a lot more work to be on a radio. We can't cuss. We don't cuss a lot, but it's like, it's hard. Like I have to like break my brain to not occasionally slip. Mm. And when I hear, when I listen to podcasts that aren't on radio and I hear someone cuss, I like twitch. Like, oh, wait, we're going to get in trouble. Oh, wait, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And it's not on radio. And also on radio, we have to explain things. Like in a podcast, you would just say LARP and people know what it is. But on radio, since it's a broad audience, it's broadcasting instead of narrow casting like podcasts. You have to explain your terms because the way I explain it is on most radio stations have, you know, a car show, and most radio networks have at least a car show and an outdoor show, maybe a hunting show, but usually just an outdoor show, all, you know, hunting, fishing, camping in one show. On a podcast, you could have a show that's specifically for fly fishing and Maserati repair. Like, because there's probably 68 people in the world who have a Maserati, do their own repairs, and like fly fishing, you know? And you couldn't put a show on radio that would only have 68 people in the world. Because, you know, you have to like basically go to the lowest common denominator because you have to sell ads on the radio. So you have to have it, you know, reach as many people in any given random region as possible, which is why they put us on at 4 a.m. Because the only people listening are the insane, the unemployed, the worried, the alcoholic, the drug addicted. the insane,
our friends.
Our friends.
Yeah,
the
all worried, of our friends.
If you're worried, brothers and sisters, put your hands on the radio and have the healing, the healing power of the Freedom Fiends will flow through you. People are like, what am I listening to? Is this a play? This is a radio play, isn't it? This is, they're reading from a script. They've got to be. All right. So, comment, girls.
What?
You got some? You got something to say?
Oh. No, I was going to say, we're talking
turned
about
us down.
Reviews.
So. Turning
down.
We're
talking about reviews. Oh, we're still talking about reviews? Yeah. I thought I wrapped it up in the last. So, there's new people listening this hour. So, what I said in the last hour at the end of it was, I think it's important to read and, well, to do reviews. Like, if you have a product you like, review it. Anywhere you can review it. You know, if it's on the manufacturer's site, on Amazon's site, on a forum for people who use this product or service, because that's how it would work without the government. Just everyone would review everything. And people say, but, you know, how would you not get poison when you get medicine? Well, there would be voluntary associations, like the way I've generally heard it told, and this makes a lot of sense, is without a government, that kind of stuff, like what the FDA does now poorly, would be done really well by things like Consumer Reports magazines or Underwriters Laboratories. You know, like Underwriters Laboratories is not a government organization. The Better Business Bureau is not a government organization. A lot of people think it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either.
Hmm. Yeah, so you can file a report with them and you're not snitching. So
good to know.
Mm-hmm. And Consumer Reports is a magazine that, like, you know, they'll have one issue that's like the best vacuum cleaners of 2017, or the safest cars, or the most economical cars, and they're really respected. They can't be bribed, and they do a great job. So that's what would replace the government. The other thing is, you're part of that by reviewing something. You know, when I go, I do a lot of shopping on Amazon. Oh, this is not a paid ad. I actually have a recommendation for pet food and pet supplies. Chewy.com, Chewy.com. My wife and I discovered this. It's like 2/3 of the price, even if of going to a store with tax and shipping, even if you're buying, like, you know, we bought like 40 pounds of cat litter and, you know, 25 pounds of cat food the other day, and it had it shipped to our door in 3 days. Nice. And it was cheaper than going to Walmart or Petco and buying it and lugging it all the way out to the car and then lugging it into the house. Like, isn't that amazing?
That
isn't
is
the world
amazing.
Great. Yeah, Chewy.com, man. Not an advertiser. But, you know, that's how this works without government. That's how we get toward, get off reliance of the government. Is, you know, do things for ourselves. And one of those things is reviewing. Did you have more comments on that, V?
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's unethical for people to try to provide false reviews.
Yeah, you're talking about
people.
You were talking about.
I got flagged. I got flagged, but that was a few years ago. And I know that that was just me as an individual. And I know that there are still those reputation companies that go around offering to fix people's reputations. And yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think that you should work for those companies. You're a bad person.
I agree.
I think there's actually an advertiser on our network that does that, but I don't think they're on there anymore.
You know what?
What?
I retract my statement then.
No, you don't. They're not on there anymore. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say they're good if... but actually, I have signed a contract and I do agreements that I can't say anything bad about any of the other hosts or... advertisers on here, but I don't really know who the advertisers are. I just kind of hear them sometimes, but we usually turn them down and talk over them. And also, the ads being heard by listeners around the country are different. You guys probably don't know how this works. Okay, so you know that pie chart I gave you guys, looks like a pizza. It's divided up into the hour. Do you have that?
Yes.
It's posted on my wall.
Yeah, so the... you know, it's like 8.5 minutes top of the hour news, then 13 minutes of talk, then 4 minutes of ads, then 6 minutes of talk, then 5 minutes of ads, then 13 minutes of talk, then 5 minutes of ads, and then 5 minutes and 50 seconds of talk, and then it starts over. And that's each hour of the Freedom Fiends. That's called the show clock, and every show has one of those. Sometimes a network will have the same show clock for all shows. GCN has like 4 or 5 show clocks for 75 shows. So we have this show clock. They let the shows, GCN lets the shows pick it. You know, you can have more hours, you can have more minutes for for the local radio station picking you up if you want. It gives you less talk, but it makes stations more likely to pick you up. So the way that that ad works, there's like another, a different show clock breakdown of that same thing that they give to stations that take the show. So the way this works, it's kind of brilliant. The way syndicated radio generally works, the network does not pay us and we do not pay the network. The radio station does not pay us and does not pay the network. Basically, everyone gets some ad time during the hour. The Freedom Fiends gets 3 hours of ad time per hour. And that's supposed to be honored by stations that take it up. And, you know, GCN gets, I don't know, 12 minutes or something per hour. And I don't know what it is, but it's more than 3 minutes. And the radio station gets 11 minutes per hour. So there, we hear ads in every break, but some of those can get covered up by the local station. They get 11 minutes of ad time just for putting us on, and they get free content. That's how syndicated radio works.
Interesting. TLDR. I didn't know that.
It's pretty brilliant. Oh,
that is yep. Cool.
LDR? What'd you say?
TLDR.
What's that?
Too long didn't read.
Really?
You thought no, that was I thought too long? It was interesting. No, I'm not going to lie. I did kind of space out for a second, but I heard you say that sometimes the ads get covered up by...
I'm just turning you down. Just turning you down. I think most people listening thought that was fabulous or fascinating or at least interesting, and you're like, oh, that's kind of bad form, actually, to, like, you know, say you're not listening to the other host, I would say. Mm-hmm. As long as we're doing Teaching Hospital. I think that's a negative fiend mark for V there. But she has some good marks, so we'll let it slide. So moving on. I got some yeah, so the, you know, the moral of the story is review things that are good, review things that are bad. The one thing I'd recommend against, too, is, well, if you're reading ads to buy something, like everything, no matter how good it is, will have some negative ads. But the negative ads, sometimes there's people that just write negative ads because they hate the world and they take it out in the world, or they can't work technology and they blame it on the product. So on Amazon, this is really easy. If you see a really negative review on something you want to buy, click on the person's name and look at their other reviews and see if they're mostly negative, and then just ignore those reviews.
Yeah,
that is a good idea.
I will get so lost, like,
you weren't spacing out
on Amazon.
You actually heard that?
That was short. Okay. No, I will get so lost on Amazon sometimes just looking through the reviews, and I'll just scroll and scroll. If it's going to be a large purchase, you know, then I'll just scroll through the reviews for so long, and I just start to get like, wow, there's so many negative reviews, you know?
Yeah.
But it's important if they're legitimate, yeah.
Some of the reviews are great on there, really funny, you know, and they'll go viral.
You know what's really funny? There's some that go viral where, like, one was, you can buy a gallon of milk on Amazon, which seemed really bizarre when it first happened. It's like 5 years ago. It's not so bizarre now. Like, I remember, it's funny because, so I'm buying pet food and pet sand on the internet, and I remember when I first worked in I was working in .com companies in the .com boom in San Francisco. Meow. And I remember, like, companies failing and people were like, they had this ridiculous business plan delivering kitty litter on the internet. Ha ha. But this company's actually, like, getting praised by Fortune magazine. They're kicking butt. The time has come. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Do we have Ms. V back, or did she quit radio and run away?
I hope she didn't run away.
She quit radio.
I scared her off already.
She's still connected?
She's connected, yes.
What is she really?
According to this.
All right. So I got some I was wrongs from the other show. I had a bunch of them on, like, two shows together. So I said the other thing. So, when I was talking about Iggy Pop and Scott Ashton, the drummer, I said, could you guys tell that Scott Ashton was on heroin in that documentary? And Jeremy's like, oh, I thought he had a stroke or something. And I was like, no, man, you can totally tell his eyes were pinned and he's slurring his words. Well, it turns out he was possibly on heroin anyway, not a guarantee, but he did have a stroke.
Oh.
So, yeah, at a show of some other band. So let's see. You know what? Do you know what SDS was? It was like the 60s radical thing, Students for a Democratic Society.
Maybe.
It sounds like sweet and light, but it's actually like communists that wanted to like use bombs to take over America.
Okay.
The first time I saw a pin, like, you know, the Freedom Fiends pins we sell, or like pins that go on your shirt, or a punk rock pin. First time I saw one was in like 1970 when I was 6. And my sister returned from college and she had a pin that said SDS. And I was like, I picked it up and I was like, what is this? And she says, oh, it's nothing. Someone gave it to me. It's nothing. And she took it away from me and put it in a drawer. And I was like, whatever that thing is, it's the coolest thing ever. She acts like it's forbidden. And one day I'll have my name, my thoughts on those things. Seriously.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and she was not a radical. I really think someone just gave it to her. She happened to have it. You know, and I was like, you know, she didn't want me to ask. She didn't want me to find out what it was, I think.
She didn't want to explain that.
Yeah. So, let's see. Oh, Mario Savio, M-A-R-I-O-S-A-V-I-O, was the guy who stood up on the Volkswagen at Berkeley and supposedly started the free speech movement. You know, back when free speech was good instead of bad. Let's see, I've said Antifa, carrying guns will probably be a thing. Far light.
Everything's backwards.
Antifa are carrying guns?
Yeah. I read a really good article today about how the Antifa is the extreme left, and then you have
let's define that. I made that big rant about defining comments. Antifa means anti-fascist, but it's lefty people who are willing to use violence, like the protesters in Berkeley. That, you know, burned the place, were burning things when Milo was going to come there. Anti-fascism sounds good, but anti-fascism in that sense, basically, like, you know, they define traditional marriage as fascism. They define makeup as fascism. They define, you know, being a white person with a job as fascism, even though a lot of them are white. You know, I've actually heard too that a lot of those people are paid. Have you heard about that? It's a rumor.
I have heard that.
That like George Soros somehow trickles money down to them.
Yeah, and I believe that. And I just found this article that I read earlier today, and I think he mentions that in here. And I'm gonna look for that part. I'm pretty sure he talked about how a lot of them do. It might have been in this article how they get paid.
Yeah,
this is what they do for a living. A lot of them.
It's weird for a living. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think they get paid pretty well. I'm pretty sure you can look online and, you know, if you're so inclined, and find these kinds of gigs, you know. And for some of them, I think it's a full-time thing. And for some, it's
there's so much false news now that everyone can do propaganda, not just the just governments. Like, there were actually people, when the first Berkeley riot thing happened with Milo, like, somebody put an ad on Berkeley Craigslist to make it look like they were willing, you know, like willing to pay people, you know, $50 an hour to come protest, you know, must be willing to destroy property or something like that.
Right.
But it was a fake thing. It was put by the right, you know. It was, and then I've actually seen a picture of Antifa girl that's from a different angle. That's like a really, you know, when she's getting punched, to the left of her in the frame, you can see someone there against the wall.
Yeah.
That person apparently took a picture that's much clearer than that video. It's a still picture, but it looks like she has a broken bottle in her hand, like she's holding a wine bottle with the head cut off. But I don't know if that's Photoshopped or not. If it is, it's really well done, but who knows? It's really hard to tell.
It's so hard to tell. I know. I heard that too about her, that she did have the bottles, you know, that they put the explosives in, and the goal is to cause damage.
They're putting cherry bombs in bottles.
Yeah, in wine bottles.
I don't think a cherry bomb would fit in a wine bottle.
Yeah, I don't know anything about bottles.
I think cherry bottles are too big to go.
Yeah.
Maybe you break the top off the wine. They break the top off the wine bottle and drop it in. But yeah, there were people making explosive improvised IEDs, basically low-powered IEDs there. Fabulous. Horrible people.
Yeah, what a mess.
Those commies and Nazis. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it!
Nobody could pronounce Valashka. It's Valashka, right?
Valashka.
See, I don't even know. I was reminded, yeah, I always thought it rhymed with flesh, but it rhymes with mosh. That's how I remember it. Rhymes with mosh, but I forgot it. So, yeah, I just call her V.
Okay.
Like that lady on the show we like. V.
Yeah,
it works.
What's the show?
Shameless.
Like, you turned me on to it, Lisa.
That's
I love
great,
it.
Isn't it?
I wish they'd come out with more. When's more?
Soon. I don't know when. Probably the fall, I think. They did get an 8th season, though.
So I wanted to do our one per hour lesson in politics. Let's see. I want to talk about the executive order to buy American and hire American that Trump passed today. And I have this feeling that, like, by the end of his second term, if he gets one, he's going to have, like, by a factor of 10, the most executive orders of any president, because he has been an executive in companies where his word is God, and he does not like people, you know, he doesn't like the democratic process that he signed up for. So he's just writing stuff down on paper and saying, "Here be decreed from now on, ye King shall Trump. Buy American." So I tried to go to the White House page. I hate going to government sites for a lot of reasons. One, I just don't like visiting them. I don't like being in their logs. I hate it. Do you guys know about that one time about 3 years ago, we got a negative comment on the Freedom Fiend site that we searched the IP of, and it was like the United States Congress. Like it was a page or somebody.
What?
Like probably not a congressman, but yeah.
Did you know that the White House did a poll and they wanted to know what agencies we thought they should get rid of, and the White House was actually one of the things on the list.
Yeah. They're just playing with you. They're just thinking you have some say in this.
Yeah.
And they're not really going to do it. Trump's going to increase the size of the federal government. I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt.
I mean, he wants more police and military already. So he signed this executive order today. It says, "I went to USA Today," which is dumbed down for quick reading on radio. "President Trump will sign a double-barreled executive order Tuesday." This is passed. It's already happened now. That will clamp down on guest worker visas and require agencies to buy more goods and services from U.S. companies and workers. It's called the Buy American, Hire American Executive Orders. And he signed it at a Snap-on Tools, like in a factory, you know, like he went to the place where it's getting, you know, they're going out of business because there's more of a free market in the world now. And, you know, people in China will make things for 1/16th of the price that America will. So basically what Trump is doing is he's targeting the H-1 B visa program, which allows 85,000 foreign workers in the United States each year to take specific high-skilled jobs with U.S. companies. And it's really popular with, like, you know, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, all the companies that make all the stuff that we like and use all day, every day. Yeah. And if there's two people out there saying, I don't like Microsoft, I use Linux. Yeah, but you're still using it on a computer made by one of these giant tech companies. So there. So basically, what this is, you know, like Republicans and, you know, conservatives are cheering this and saying it's great. But those are the same people that hate the idea of affirmative action. You know, they say, oh, affirmative action, you know, people don't get in on merit. They get in on quotas. And you know what? This is literally affirmative action for American workers. Because a lot of those tech jobs can't be filled by Americans because Americans don't get STEM jobs anymore. Can someone tell me what STEM is?
Yes, science, technology, engineering, and math, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I have a STEM degree. I'm a STEM nerd.
Yep, and it's the kind of things that build the world. You know, if you have a lot of people with STEM degrees or STEM knowledge they got outside of college, there's a lot of that in the tech world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the people that you can hire to come in and make the driverless car and improve things and make everything better and make the phone in your pocket, you know, play the YouTube or the Antifa girl getting punched faster and in higher definition quicker anywhere in the world. So basically Trump saying, I'm going to throw a wrench into American innovation, you know, to help a few workers. I'm going to mess it up for everybody, for the market. He's going to mess up the market. I don't think this is going to help, you know. I mean, it's basically the same as making government jobs, except it's in the private sector.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to help either. I don't like it at all. And I saw a meme, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I think, that said, yeah, you guys, you know, are worried about immigrants taking your jobs. I'm really sure that, you know, Raj with the neuroscience degree is going to take your job in the factory or whatever. Because people hear immigrants and they just think of people coming from Mexico and doing these blue collar jobs. They're not thinking about
those jobs are going to be replaced by robots. You know,
right?
The jobs that are being taken by foreigners are the low and high end. They're the jobs that no one wants to do, like groundskeeping and dishwashing. They're so low that people know that, you know, white people and race, all races of Americans just less and less want to do because they've gone to college and haven't and then like the high end jobs. And the thing is, the reason people haven't been getting STEM degrees is because they've been getting degrees in self-love, basically. You know, people go and take women's studies, gender studies, race studies, you know, pop culture, history, whatever. My sister has a PhD from an Ivy League university, and she's unemployed because her PhD is in social work. You know?
Yeah, I think for a while they were telling us, you know, you have to have a degree, just get a degree in anything. And so now people have all the student loan debt, and they have
yeah,
these
that's another
degrees.
Thing too.
They didn't go for the hard ones. You know, I went for the hard one. It took me a while. I took some breaks, and I had to go back, but I went for the hard one because, well, it was what I happened to be interested in, but also I knew.
Yeah. I was told the same thing. I was told just stick it out, get a degree in anything, and then I kept on changing my major because I was like, ah, that's not true. Dropped out, got a degree in web design, still work in retail.
A degree in web design, still work in retail.
Oh, web design's so useful, though.
Well, a degree in web design isn't useful.
It's really
not.
No,
it's not?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. It's something I would hire someone for.
Well, now, too, like, basically anyone can make their own website, too. So people who get paid for web design are doing more than web design. They're basically doing web programming, which is, you didn't learn that, did you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Oh.
Yeah. Do you guys have student debt?
No.
I don't know.
Nope. Oh, you're so lucky. That's so good.
My child does, though. One of my kids does.
Oh, man.
It's awful. I know.
Did you co-sign for it?
No.
You know, there's a really weird book that we talked about on the Freedom Fiends in the first year of the show, like 5.5 years ago or something, when it was just a podcast, Nima and I, the first year was just Nima Vedati and I, we had no other host.
Yeah.
And We actually took calls. You know, sometime maybe we should take calls. I don't know.
We should. Hate callers.
It's horrible. People's audio is so bad, man, and they're just insane. And a weird thing that happens on radio a lot is they call the wrong show because with a lot of unless it's a huge show, like, you know, like we've actually gotten calls from people who thought they were calling Alex Jones because we're on the same network, and they reuse numbers. Like, we have a number that he used to use before he got his dedicated number, and it's still on a bunch of websites.
We could roll with that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we could roll with that. We also when Ben Stone was on, we actually got a gardening question because here's what it is. So also we're not, this is another thing a lot of people don't know about radio. We're not live on every station. Like, let me say the date, which is kind of weird, but it's, right now it's 12, it's 1:43 a.m. U.S. Central Time on the 19th of April, 2017. So if you're not listening during that time, this is not live. So the thing is, like, you give out the number during the show, people call during the show, and then the show plays, you know, like, this show will replay on Saturday in Chicago. And, you know, the best of that will contain this out, this half hour will play this Saturday, you know, in like Chicago and Oklahoma City and a bunch of all smaller cities. And like, if we gave out a number, people would call in. So we actually got a call one time that was for a gardening show on GCN that used the same number that was, you know, like, he thought he was calling the gardening show because the gardening show was playing at the moment we were doing the live show in his town on the same station we're on. So we got a gardening question, and Ben Stone actually was able to answer it very clearly and concisely.
Awesome.
And the person was like, "You're great. I've been looking for this answer. Can't find it anywhere." It was funny.
What if people sent emails and then we just read emails? Then we wouldn't have to deal with the sound quality.
That's a lot easier. That's a lot easier.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I've done that.
We should do
that. All right, Freedom Fiends, send your questions. Here's an address you can use, bipcoin@gmail.com. I don't want to give up. I don't want to get on lists from my real email. So, but I get this. This goes into my email. So bipcoin, bravo India Papa coin @gmail.com. Send us your questions. We'll answer them on the show at some point. Maybe, you know, if it's specifically for these gals and it's not too obscene, we'll answer it next weekend when they're on. If they're
what
on,
what are we getting into now?
Are you on? No,
nothing inappropriate.
I know. Well, I was gonna say, speaking of contracting out women, without asking them, there was, which is not good. You shouldn't do it. Slavery's not good. You know, signing a slave contract for fun with your lover is good, but that's not the same thing.
If it's voluntary.
If it's voluntary, it's good. Right. Thank you. But there was this book that we read reviews of and read like samples of on, is it a very popular ebook on YouTube? It was called something like Emily's Debt. It was a girl's name and then debt. And it was like sci-fi, kind of like softcore porny, like, you know, 50 Shades of Debt or something. And it took place in the not too distant future. And it was like, this woman became a sex slave because she had student loans. Basically, like, they rechanged the law to where student loans could be sold and you were legally obligated to do whatever the company did. And basically, because she had a lot of student loans, she ended up being sold as a sex slave, and then it turned into a porn book. But that was like, you know, the thin plot around the porn book. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
but it was written like, it was really lefty, you know? It was like, it was basically, I think it was a porn book, but also the moral of the story was, you know, repay, you know, the government should pay everyone student debt, debt forgiveness, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, gee.
That's a weird topic. It's, you know, I want to say that's absurd, but it's also, I kind of also want to say, like, I don't hate that as much as I hate welfare and other things, because I kind of feel like the government tricks people into going to college. I think they need it.
Yeah, they do.
But, you know, sell off Yellowstone and pay everyone's debt one time, then never do it again. They want you to go to college because you learn socialism in college. You get a PhD in...
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Libertarians need tips, and it was like a pile of $1 bills, and it said, you know, like a five and a bunch of ones, and it said, this is a gift, and thus is not subject to state or federal taxes.
My friend tagged me in that. I love that. It's perfect.
Yeah, my comment was, you know, what shouldn't it actually be a Bitcoin paper wallet, or if it's an older libertarian, some silver?
Even better.
Yeah. I'll bet there are people who probably get irked if you left him silver. I'm sure you've seen that Mark Dice thing, but I think he kind of creatively edits and doesn't really tell the truth.
Wait, was that... Are you talking about the guy who's going around offering people a chocolate bar or silver?
He was offering people a chocolate bar or a gold, one-ounce gold piece. Like, he was offering people worth something like over $1,000 or a chocolate bar. And according to his video, everyone took the chocolate bar until there was some guy who was like, oh, there's a precious metal shop across the street. Can I take this over and get it appraised before I decide?
Wow, that was kind of smart.
Yeah, it was. Although, you know, I think I would take a copper round before I'd take a chocolate bar. It's worth more.
I find it really hard to believe that everyone would take the chocolate bar.
That's why I find it hard to believe too. And like, I don't know, does Mark Dice have money to give away, you know, more than an ounce of gold?
I don't know. That's a good question. I love chocolate, but I would take the gold.
I don't have any gold. I have some silver, but I never owned any gold. I'm not plush enough for that. I'd rather own a house, you know, which, you know, we own a mortgage. We don't really own a house, but I'd rather, I don't have any debt either. I'm really psyched about that too. Everyone told me, I was like, they're like, you're so smart. You score so high. You have to go to college, you know? And I got, but I just didn't want to. I went to community college for 2 years and flunked out the second year. Second year, I basically just went to the school library and listened to the Jethro Tull Aqualung record on vinyl back when that's what they had, with headphones every day, and then watched Monty Python Insert the Holy Grail. Every day. That was my second year of college. Like, I just got obsessed with those two medias, and because you couldn't really get media back then, you know, like, I mean, I used to go like find all the books I could on bands. I mean, it would have blown my mind to have the internet back then. I didn't have the internet until I was 30 years old. Think about that, you youngins.
Yeah, I was 25. Yep.
Nick has never known no internet.
Yeah, my kids either. It's wild to think about. I bought a guitar the other day. Speaking of Amazon and bands, I did. I'm learning.
Acoustic? Again. What is it?
Yeah, classical. A Yamaha C40.
I've been thinking of buying a guitar. I have an electric guitar, but it's in the basement. I only use it to record. I'm actually a pretty darn good guitar player. I can even play some classical, and I can play kind of complicated, like 8 or 9 chord folky rocky songs and stuff, convincingly. But there was a time in my life, there were 15 years of my life, from like age 15 to age, 21 probably, where I never didn't have a guitar in my hands, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. Like I went to sleep and fell asleep with a guitar on me, that kind of thing. And
instead of a little stuffed
animal. Yeah. And I, actually, like the guitarist in Bomb, my old band, got got in touch with him the other day. Like, we kind of had a tiff of falling out. Like, I wasn't talking to any of those guys in the band, and one of them wasn't talking to me, the one I would talk to, because they hate, like, two of them hate me because I'm a lefty, and then one of them is a sociopath, and I won't talk to him. But I kind of, like, yeah, the guitar player, Jay Crawford, kind of kissed and made up with me, and we kind of chatted, and he's like, do you sing anymore? And I'm like, yeah, not really. I mean, I, you know, have lung problems. I could probably sing and record one long line at a time. And he's like, that's such a waste. You're so talented. And it's like, you know, most people listen, like, most people don't know the things I've done. Most of the people listening don't know I played in a band. I was signed to Warner Brothers. I toured the world. I put out movies. You know, I have a movie that narrated by Robert Downey Jr. that I directed. But I don't know. I mean, I talked that stuff up a little time, but most people on here, most people listening to the show haven't heard my music. It was my whole life for a while. And so I was actually thinking, like, you know, you can get a decent guitar for like $90 on Amazon now, like a really playable acoustic guitar, which you could not then. It's because of globalist, you know, Chinese slave labor, yeah, basically, or Mexican slave labor.
Oh, no.
Well, it's not really slave labor, but, you know.
Right.
No, it's commerce, man. Those people live in those Chinese factories, like, they... Yeah, they're horrible. China's horrible. But,
yeah,
know,
they are.
Oh, India, God. People making $1 an hour in India are doing better than they, you know, they'd starve without it. It's good. It's a good thing.
That's true.
But I've been thinking of buying one of those guitars. I might, because I like playing guitar.
I like it's so
fun.
Far.
It's fun.
It is fun.
Worms.
Worms.
Yeah, worms.